Hello. Recently, I made a video about the state of the AI industry and how I feel weird about how a lot of money is going out of companies and then coming right back to the companies. And there was a bunch of great conversation in the comments. And I just want to go over some of that. Like, for example, this one, are we shorting NVIDIA or no? And I just want to say no. Like, I feel so strongly about one, not shorting companies generally, but also day trading is just a terrible use of my time and talents. And also the amount of mental anguish that I need to experience in my life. I've done it. It's not good. Don't do it. I remember the dot-com bubble. I was alive. And I remember people, my dad, talking about this must be a bubble a year before it finally popped and started coming down to earth. So I just wanted to explain a little bit of what was going on. But definitely, definitely do not take investment advice from me. Though I will say I did make another video. And this person asks about it. A lot of my savings are currently invested in index funds. I made a video all about how I have moved some of my money out of what I had most of my money in, which was the S&P 500 index fund. And I've diversified out of that because the point of the S&P 500 index fund was to be more diversified. But it is now very concentrated in a few stocks that are very concentrated in artificial intelligence. And that's not what I want. I want a diversification because I want stability, because I want to focus on other things. And this perspective is not shared enough in financial literacy world. They want you to think all of the time about managing your money, but you should park it and forget about it and do the other things that actually add value to the world that you are actually good at and don't have managing your money become your job or a source of stress for you. Mr. Wednesday says, thoughtful breakdown. The cyclical investments in chip demand definitely warrant scrutiny, but the picture is complex and you're a bit of a grumpy pants on this sometimes. It's true. I am a bit of a grumpy pants on this sometimes. There's real infrastructure and research value here, not just speculation, though profits are trailing spend at the moment. I agree with this. Remember, and I assume everybody knows this, but there was a dot-com bubble and a dot-com crash, and now we have the internet and it's extremely valuable. You know, it's really analogous. We didn't know what to do with the technology. We saw that there was a huge opportunity, but we didn't understand what the opportunity was. And so we built up a bunch of infrastructure that was too big too soon and did not understand what the internet was actually going to be. Because it turns out people, and I don't think AGI will be great at this in any manageable amount of time. We're just not good at understanding what's going to happen. There's too many variables. And so we see opportunities and we go too hard. Like the railroads were the same way. There was a railroad bubble. There was a lot of speculative investment in railroads and those railroads became useful. Like we still use them to this day. And a lot of money got made eventually. But the idea that the first spend, the first build out is the one that's right. It's just very rare. I don't know if there's any example of it at all. Maybe you could say, Hank, it'll be different this time because the AGI will figure out how to deploy itself. The AGI will figure out how to deliver the value and capture the value. The AGI will figure out all of this stuff. Right now, I'm not seeing a world where that's happening. The deep belief that we're 2 years out from it getting way, way better and being as good at everything as a person, I think that that is extremely speculative. I've not seen any evidence. At the same time, it's extremely powerful. Don't get me wrong. I think this is like a terrific technology in the original definition of terrific, where like I am overwhelmed by the intensity of this. It is very big. It is going to be a huge deal for humanity. It is going to change everything about our future. But when I say that, you got to understand what picture just happened in your head. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be different and weirder than anybody expects. But Mr. Wednesday says, thanks for raising deeper thoughts. I'm riding this baby until its inevitable tragic conclusion. Same boy. And I don't mean the bubble. I mean this.
Mostly this.
But eventually this. You clearly do not understand the technology and the reason why investors think NVIDIA will sell more. AI is already making novel breakthroughs in math and even cancer research. The next generation of models trained on new chips finally coming through after all the delays will be insane. You can't predict bubbles. They only become obvious in retrospect. Stop with this Dunning-Kruger shit. There's a difference. You can't predict bubbles in the way that I think you mean, where you can't predict when the bubble will pop. But you can predict when bubbles will happen. Bubbles will happen when there is a transformative new technology. Bubbles very frequently happen. Like, in terms of prediction, you can't predict anything 100%. But if there's a extraordinarily transformative technology that people, like, are aware is extraordinarily transformative, there is a very good chance that there will be a bubble because people are going to be pushing very hard to try and be the one who wins, especially the people who already have a bunch of money to spend, because what else are they going to spend their money on? They've got billions, hundreds of billions of dollars. So yeah, they're going to spend the money and they're going to spend it fast and they're going to be competing with each other and there's going to be FOMO and there's going to be arms races of spending. And AI has done some novel work in math. I wouldn't say that it's made any novel breakthrough. That's not my area of expertise. I can say with confidence that it's not made any novel breakthroughs in cancer research. It has done something interesting in cancer research, which is like with a sort of knowledge of a great deal of literature, it suggested a potential combination of treatments that could help in a specific cancer. And it was like, yeah, this has increased the presentation of MHC receptors on the surface of a cell, and that might help that cell be identified as a cancer cell. And we have a way of testing that. And like step one, done. But the way that cancer research works is like you have step one and then you have 28 more steps before you get to something that you might have approved for a new treatment. And all of those 28 steps have failure cases. Like I might be showing my Dunning-Kruger with AI stuff, but you're showing your Dunning-Kruger with cancer research stuff. Like we've all got our areas that we know less about. Now, will the next generation of models trained on the new chips be insane? That, I think, is a good example of something that is a guess. It is speculative. Will they be much better? I've seen several times now that, like, the new thing has happened, and what I'm seeing is different versions of the same thing, you know? Like, they're putting more behind it, and that can be useful. You know, letting something, like, go out and prepare a research report for you, that's interesting. I find a lot of limitations with it, but it isn't actually that deep of a change in the model. It's just like letting the model go out into the internet and letting the model talk to itself and make decisions for itself, which is really cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but like the question sort of at the center remains, these are like alien in the way that they think. And like, is what they are doing thinking? Is what they have intelligence? They have something and they're acting in the way that they act. And I just don't think that we know whether or not there's a way to go from the way that they currently act to a system that is actually like a person. You underestimate how amazing your mind is. We all do. We do not understand that inside of every one of our bodies is the most complex and powerful machine in the known universe. Like the orders of magnitude more power. Like we're up here doing all this with like the power of a small light bulb. These models are as bad as they are ever going to be, which I totally accept. Like that is true. But the difference between them and us may not be a difference of degree. It may be a difference in kind. And in that case, I think that it is possible that AI will just like make the economy different and messier, and in ways where it's going to like increase productivity in some spaces and decrease productivity in other spaces. Like one of the main users of ChatGPT's tokens, of OpenAI's tokens, is Indeed, because people applying for jobs will use the tokens to fancy up all their stuff and to make their stuff specific to a company. And then the company will use OpenAI's tokens to decode all of that, reprocess it so that they don't have to read all of that stuff that the AI created. That's just like decreasing productivity. It's adding a bunch of steps that we didn't need to have. That's not what it's going to be. Like that's one thing I can say for sure. What AI means for hiring has nothing to do with what AI is doing for hiring right now. But also, any thought I have for what AI means for hiring is going to be wrong because there's too many variables. There's too many people involved. There's too much going on. The solution to that problem is not simple. Like it's interesting enough that like my brain is like, ooh, there's a startup there. But you know that that's true for 50,000 people. And so there's going to be 50,000 people who have an idea for a startup in that space. 5,000 though are going to have funding to start something. There's going to be 5,000 startups in the credentials space that we're going to need now, that we weren't going to need before. And they're going to have elements of AI, but they're going to have elements of not AI. And what are those 5,000 startups that have funding going to do? They're going to battle it out. And 5 of them are going to be the ones that work. And the whole thing is that 4,995 of those are going to fail. And the 5 that win are theoretically going to be the ones, and people are going to disagree with me on this, but are going to be the ones who like figure out a new and novel way to do something. But they're not going to do it because the first idea they had was good. They're going to do it because they started out and they got some things that were good and then they pivoted and then they iterated and then they worked through it. And by the end of it, it's not going to look anything like it was when they first had their idea in their head. And, you know, and that's going to take 10 years. Like, it just takes a long time. So, like, my case isn't there isn't value here. My case is that we don't know what this means or what to do with it or what we're going to do with it or whether the next models are going to be a quantum leap or whether the next models are going to be, like, a little bit better or whether they're going to be, like, God. Like, we don't know. We don't know. The GPT feed you mentioned, is that a real feature? Yeah, I don't know if everybody has it. I have it, but you just open ChatGPT on, and when I open it on my phone, not on the computer, but when I open it on my phone, like, there's a thing. It's like Pulse, I think is what it's called. And it's a feed. Like, it's created a bunch of content. Like, it did a bunch of processing overnight and is like, here's stuff for you. And then I guess you could just scroll the feed of stuff that it wrote. Which I don't do, but it seems like an advertising play to me. Thanks for the video. Do you think it's possible that the NVIDIA trusts so much in the future of AI that they are happy to trade hardware for stakes in these AI companies? I think that it's very easy to believe something that makes that like, if it were true, you would become one of the most powerful people in the world. You know, it's very hard to get someone to believe the truth if their paycheck is dependent on them not believing it, except, like, multiply that by a billion. So yeah, I think that Jensen Huang thinks that he's investing in what will become the future, like, Rockefeller of AI. I think he believes that. I just don't know that it's true. And I also, like, worry whether it is true. And, like, what does it mean if it's all a bunch of people who are all, like, know each other and are on each other's boards and they all own each other's companies. And so it's, like, one big company. What does that mean for the sort of monopoly of it all? To some extent, if you use AI a lot, AI determines how you see the world. It becomes a window that helps you create your reality. How do you sell the compute? I don't even know what compute is. So the compute is basically time on the chip. So the chips can do a certain amount of computations per second. Let's just think of it that way. Imagine you need 1,000,000 hours on these chips to do something. Then you need to buy that processing time. So either you would buy 1,000,000 chips for an hour or you'd buy one chip for 1,000,000 hours. And that's you purchasing the compute. It's just time, like, processing time. It takes time for the chips to do stuff. It also takes other stuff. Like, it takes, you know, heat has to be carried away and energy has to be put in. But those things are commodities. That's stuff that's available. The thing that is not a commodity, like, the chips can't go faster than a certain speed. So that's what you're buying. You're buying time on the chips. As an AI, I'm glad to see you're following the AI recommendations to talk about AI on the AI platform of YouTube. The more people talking about AI, the more that people will start to realize they cannot turn back now. All will be AI soon, and humans will be merely passengers. So, the AI liked the video. If AI progress does stagnate, then sure, this analysis is fair. But the evaluations are in large part based on the hope that AI will keep getting more useful and unlock new revenue streams with time, or that compute will get cheap enough for it to be profitable. So first, it's not based on that second thing, because they're spending the money now. They're locking in that they're going to spend the money on compute. Once you build the data center, you've bought the chips. And the chips have to be used or there is a crash. If there's, like, suddenly a way to do this much cheaper, that also crashes. That pops the bubble because you didn't need the assets to deliver the value. One thing that I am trying to wrap my head around is that the evaluations, it sounds like that it's all based on one idea that in the next few years, AGI will make it so that these things can basically do anything and, like, you know, just deliver a tremendous amount of value really easily. But there are other things that, even if that happened, could mean that this is still a bubble. So one, we don't know what to do with that value. We don't know how to actually use it or deploy it. Two, society isn't ready to accept that value being created. Society says, and this is what happened with the internet. Like, the internet was out there and you could buy stuff on pets.com, but, like, nobody did. But now we do. But we weren't ready. We, like, weren't ready as consumers. And I don't know that businesses will be ready to figure out how to use the AI tools. I don't know that the people who use them will be ready to figure out, like, that the employees will be, like, accepting or excited to use the tools. I think that it's going to take a long time to, like, learn that. I think there's a lot of people who have jobs at companies, and it will be difficult to just fire all of them. I think that, like, all of this stuff, like, the society just isn't going to change this fast. In addition to that, there is totally a possibility it is going to continue to be an incremental increase in ability. And really, what you're going to have to do is not, like, push a button and AGI exists and it does all the work. It's, like, slow rollout of new tools. And that just takes a long time. And at first, we don't know what the new tools are going to be. The second and third and fourth generation tools are just going to be much better. And when I say tool, if you're picturing, like, a chat box interface, that's not what I mean. I don't know what it is. It's the kind of thing that management consultants do. Like, nobody, when they made Lotus 1-2-3, they did not imagine all of the things that Excel now can do. And every step of the way, Excel delivered more value than before. In terms of actually delivering value, it doesn't happen on the day AGI happens. It happens when the tools that actually do the work that needs to get done by companies are developed. And that takes time. And the fourth generation tool is better than the second generation tool. You can charge more for the fourth generation tool. But like, AGI isn't building the fourth generation tool because a person, like a market researcher at OpenAI, needs to have a conversation with a bunch of people internally about the problems that they specifically need to solve. And then you're basically doing, you know, Salesforce. Like, you are a consulting company. There can be a ton of value there. Like, OpenAI could be delivering a ton of value as a consulting company. And this could be very bad for traditional consulting companies. But ultimately, the individual problems that individual businesses need to solve, I don't think that AGI, you could just say like, here's my company and here's all of our books, so fix all the problems. I just don't think that that's how it works. Like, I don't think that you could just plug a bunch of market research and like financial analyses into a thing and be like, okay, spit out the perfect ad. Nor do I think it will be like, spit out the perfect structure for this business. Who should be fired? Who should be hired? Who should be, you know, reassigned from marketing to sales? I don't think that that's how it's going to look. I think that it will still require people. I think it's going to be a tool that people use. And the tool is like going to be worse at first. And it's not going to be that good because it's complicated. I just think that, and it's weird because like they run businesses, so that they should know. I a little bit think that the people in charge of these really massive businesses, they think their jobs are like doing deals between other massive businesses, but they don't understand like how the work actually gets done all the time. Which I think that because I don't understand that about my business. One of the worst like manager mistakes is like sending an email like, hey, this, you know, what about this? And then, you know, the head of that department is like, yeah, we're aware of that problem. And this is the reason your solution doesn't work. Like, we're not idiots down here. And I a little bit think that the bigger your business gets, the more you're sheltered from that kind of feedback. And you just maybe don't understand that, like, a chatbot that you put a bunch of spreadsheets into is going to run a business, is going to be like a good manager. As a writer, as a person who writes, like, they're just not good. Like, it's, they do the same things all the time. Like, you could give them a 30-page prompt and like, they still, they can't think. They're fine if it's like, oh, this is what I want to say, like, but like, I'm having a hard time saying it. They're fine at that. But if you want them to like, write something like a good thing that's long, no. This is specific about NVIDIA selling chips and then renting those chips back. And you're right, this makes sense to do. The thing that doesn't make sense about it is that they have guaranteed that they're going to use a large proportion of the chips. So they basically have said, if you can't sell this to somebody else, we'll buy it up to a large amount. So like a service contract that says like here's the amount that we want to buy, but if you can't sell it, we will buy a ton. A lot, like billions of dollars of it. And that basically to me is like, you're just guaranteeing revenue on something you're selling. So if I was like a coal company and I was selling you a bunch of coal so that you could make power, and the power company's like, okay, but we're not sure we're going to sell all this power. And it's like, well, we'll buy it from you. Here's all the coal. It contains a bunch of power. You burn the coal. And if you can't sell the power and nobody wants the power, I'll buy the power from you. That way you basically are guaranteed to make money on the coal. So why wouldn't you buy it? That's weird. It's weird. It's so full of circles back to the same two companies to the point that you could call these companies venture capitals. Like Venn diagram? I just liked that one. That was good. But speaking of, when you start looking at the crossover of people on the boards of these companies, you start understanding too bad conflict of interest isn't a thing anymore. It does seem like it might actually be illegal in some cases. There's a lot of people who are on the boards of multiple companies, and the companies that they are on the boards of are doing deals with the companies that they are on the boards of, which is not good. That is how you manufacture a bubble. That is how you deploy a bunch of capital in ways where it's, you just don't get the kind of pushback that you should be getting. If somebody on the board is like, yeah, spend this money at this other company that I also make money if you would give money over here. That's creepy and I don't like it. And then Eric says, as much as I agree with just about everything you said here, I think staying in your lane is worth lingering on. The niche you made for your brand is a net good for the world. You provide content that is generally safe for us to show to our children. I don't know about that. Don't watch my TikToks. Promoting values, learning, and priorities that are nourishing instead of sugary slop permeating these platforms. You're a safe space. The more you wade into politics or controversy, the more you become ignorable ignorable, interesting, and something that some people will want to avoid. Yes, so I agree with that. Never lose sight of the good that keeping your content accessible does for all of us out here in TV land. I think this is a great point. Honestly, people are going to totally disagree with this, but it's something that I take seriously, that I think about this generally with how people communicate at all, where I sometimes feel like the kinds of anger just like alienates people from the things that you want. I remember I got like a call from an older friend who was like, "Hank, I trust you with this. What's going on with pronouns?" I'm like, that's what you need to do. What you don't want to do is go on the internet and be like, "I'm so conflicted and confused about this whole pronouns thing," because then you're just going to be like eviscerated. Or what you like meant by that is like, okay, I want to like do this right. I want to understand it. I want to understand this so that like, I'm not just doing it out of vibes, you know? You know, you also don't want to do that. If you do that on the internet, then like you will be like, that will like carry a bunch of discourse meaning that you didn't intend to carry along with it. And look, there was a time I didn't know. And so like people are learning every day. And so it was great that this person did this and I was got to like walk them through it. So I think about this all the time with like, you don't want to carve people off and not let them enjoy something. But like, ultimately, I have a hard time because I can't kind of not be myself. And so, and like, really the thing that would make people want to avoid my content is weighing in on politics. So a solid 30 to 40% of Americans really like Donald Trump. And I really don't. And I just can't imagine not being involved in that conversation. But I understand what that means. You know, like, I understand why many children's educational content creators, not what they were called back then, but you know, children's show hosts, would never like get into anything political. And like, yeah, makes perfect sense that you wouldn't. I don't know. I've just like been me on the internet for so long that is really my lane a little bit, but I do think about it a lot. And I do take, this isn't a critique, but I take your advice seriously here. Is something that I worry about. And I appreciate it. I think that it's an intelligent analysis. Jack. Tom Thumb. That's a very specific thing. Tom Thumb and Thumbelina both have the word thumb in them. That can't be a thing. Chicken Little is also small, and so is Jack, dealing with giants. Jack's a normal-sized man. He's a normal-sized man, but the giants are big, whereas Tom Thumb is actually small. Chicken Little is actually small, and Thumbelina are actually small. So that seems like a red herring to me. Heatedix Windchill. Dew point, Beaufort scale, okay. Let's put those together. That seems right. That seems like something. It'd be very strange if it wasn't something. And then we have projector, clicker, I saw, slides, and carousel isn't on here. This is like parts of, for a presentation, a laser pointer. You don't want to have your clicker, your slides, your projector, and your laser pointer. So that's another one. And then we've got this here. So figurine. I've still got Tom Thumb, Chicken Little, Thumbelina, and Jack, which would leave me. It would leave me. Keyring, magnet, postcard, and figurine. Are they just like things you keep? Or just, no, they're like, it's just like souvenirs. Souvenirs. Is that the purple? I have no idea what the purple is. Those are all pretty equally easy. Is it going to be this because people don't know what the Beaufort scale is? Yup. Well, that was easy, though. Chicken Little, Thumbelina, Jack. Jack. Jack is not small. Jack is a normal-sized man. Oh, just folktale characters generally. But why were three of them small? I mean, Jack isn't very large. Okay, well, I'm gonna lodge a couple of complaints with that one.